just know, you know. When you start asking, what does that mean? You look at me like, because the way to learn grammar, Sarah Ann, how do you learn grammar? Learn another language. You'll learn grammar. And if you don't know another language, you don't know English grammar. Because there's just something weird about language. You just do it intuitively. Then all of a sudden they start talking about all these parts of speech and you're like, who? What? Let's read this very familiar passage. We're going to pick up on this in a moment. Let not your hearts be troubled. Beautiful. You believe in God? Believe also in me. The two words for believe in English, indicative, imperative, what are they? You say, I don't even know what that means. Are they commands or are they statements? Verse 2. See, you're looking at me funny, folks. If you don't know, then you gotta, you know, you struggle here. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're actually going to look at verse 1 for obvious reasons. We're going to talk about this concept. We're looking at one verse, saved or being saved. This is something that floats around on Facebook for the fundies. It's a good way of slamming other people, being the only right Christians on planet Earth because you have the right Bible. And I'm going to warn up front two dangers so we know where to begin. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessings now on this time. May this be a profitable time in Christ's name. Amen. By the way, for all of you that wondered if I got a haircut, the answer is I did get a haircut. All of them. I don't know how many there are, but not very many. I was planning on going seeing Sister Linda so she could do a weave in my hair. But for some reason, she didn't want to do it. So, folks, I want to make something very, very clear, and this is very, very sobering. There are two wrong things you can walk away from everything I've been saying, because I have a tendency to mock stupid. It's not one of my better points, but I tend to mock stupidity, especially among pastors who are supposed to be people that know what they're talking about. So, Fawn Duncan, your mind has to work here, Fawn. Historical question. I want a first name only. Got it? There was a young couple in 1996 or 7 or 8 that when the husband got transferred someplace, the wife lived next door and when Harper won. Then they left here, traveled around through the Navy, and got hooked up with a King James cult group. What's the girl's name? Holly. That's just all we need. This was a couple that came to our church for a period of time. Her husband was getting transferred early. She didn't have a place to stay in between. And our church, because there was no one living, there's not a Harp One now, by the way. There's just a... She lived there for 3 months, 6 months. Yeah, you were living there.
But it was like in two apartments.
Right, but she was there for a short period of time. Is that right? We tried to help her. Her and her husband went on through the Navy, and they got connected to a King James-only cult. Are you listening? Comes back here, what, 15 years later? 10 to 15 years later? Whatever it was. They come back here 10, 15 years later. Now, this is somebody that this church helped. But when she came back... See, there's two dangers to this King James stupidity. In this room, the first danger is worse than this one. This church was not a fundamental church anymore because we didn't hold to the King James Version nonsense that she'd got hooked up with by a cult guy in out east. By the way, the guy used to teach at Maranatha, they fired him. The guy you were under when you first got there, blew him out of Dodge because he was a cult teacher then. So there are people that get into the King James stuff and all of a sudden nobody's a Christian but... Now, everybody listening, see the name of this thing on the board. Yes or no? Stuff Fundies like. It no longer exists as a website. A young guy went to one of these fundamentalist schools like that. I don't know if it was Vogelin School or one like it. You know, a school with no brains and no conversation, because if you talk, you get destroyed. That's how they work. By the way, if you want to know if you're in a cult, are you allowed to think? Not in a cult. Are you allowed to talk? Oh, no. So the moment you know that, run! He grew up in this thing, and he started a website. Tim, I think you read this. Maybe you didn't. He started this website called Stuff Fundies Like, and all it was mocking Fundamental Baptist. And it was rightly so, some of the things people say. Here's the problem. Within the last 6 months, he closed it down. I read his statement. It's probably on sharper iron, and he said this. I started out making fun of fundamentalism, and I'm going to paraphrase terribly. Basically, the guy's lost his faith. He's no longer a Christian. Both of those are very bad places to go. Pastor Warren is not interested in either position. Don't you dare get hooked up with some redneck idiot. I can't even remember that guy's name. Who is the guy? He went from Maranatha to the place out in Virginia Beach where Jim D. were in that little redneck school, for he was there for 15 minutes, and now he's got his own little school. He believes in a flat earth. You really got to be from outer space to believe in that. Okay? No, no, he's been there. See, he knows. Or a lot of space. Now, I'm going to keep saying this so you all understand. I talked to a missionary that's going to come here for our missions conference. They're going to Portugal. I have never had this happen before. Missionaries need money. Most missionaries hide what they believe. Because if they go to the South, you know, Kentucky, Tennessee, where people are white, they only have two questions. Number one, do you use the King James? He's going to Portugal. They don't speak English there. So he started the conversation with his, he said, I might as well get the two hot button issues out of the way before I ask you to come. And I'm like, I have never had a missionary say this before. He said, number one, I believe in election. And I'm thinking, okay, that's good. So do I. Number two, no, we're not using the King James in Portugal. You think I'm being funny? It is funny, but it's... And I'm sorry, Noel can tell you about those Filipino guys that come to our church and Noel helps. They don't hardly go to the South anymore because this is the South, King James only. By the way, write this down. That is a direct... Are you all listening? That is a direct form, besides the stupidity and ignorance, of racism. White folk just better than you Filipino folk. Our language is better than your language. If it's not racism, it's a form of imperialism. It's an instinctive form of imperialism that we got it and nobody else does. Now, by the way, the missionary to Portugal, and I'm spending a lot of time, he called me, we set up a time to come from our missions conference, and he said, are you having a special speaker? I've never been asked that question. I said, yes. He got really nervous on the phone. He didn't want to come when he found out I had a special speaker. And I'm like, they just left a conference that had a special speaker. The guy got up. No joke. The guy said this. Walter, you need to write this one in your Bible because you like numerology, I know. 9 is the number of God. I never heard that before. He said, how do you know this? Are you ready? If you add them up, oh my goodness. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is there? Oh, it's Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See? He's one of them right there. Thank you. I knew it was 9 because I had added it up. It can't be Holy Spirit because that's 10. Are you ready? Now, everybody looking at me? I know there are people in this room that are not comfortable with me. Sharon Silverson, I won't mention your name. I want everybody to look at me. If somebody said that in the pulpit, we'd stop the service and ask him to leave. If he didn't leave, we would remove him immediately. Did you hear me? You're not going to be a fool and preach in this church. That was preaching a mission. First of all, what's that got to do with missions? No joke. Every place you go, you have to talk about this. Of course, you know, I don't know what he does with... Whoops, I can't spell. I'm thinking... Hagias Numa, Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost is more letters than what he's talking about. Yes. All right. Now we're going to go back. By the way, so if you're a redneck from Kentucky, we're not one of those. But I want you to be serious about this. On the other hand, there are people that start losing their faith because once that, look at me, if you have a brain, there are people in this room, I'm sorry, I could name you. You could put up with this crap. I'm sorry. There's probably 3 or 4 that you just, you don't listen to me, so you don't listen to that either. I don't, but on the other hand, what happens, young guys that have a brain, they're young, they go to Bible college like that, and after a while they get to the place where they realize this is all nonsense. And guess what happens? Then bad things happen in their heart. They think they've been lied to. All right, you see on the board, you want to know what Bibles Pastor Warren recommends if you're just an English speaker? I recommend any one of the 4. King James, New King James. I recommend all 4, not any one of the 4. Meaning use all of them. If you have struggled with English, get yourself an ESV. New American Standard Version of 1995. I don't know if they sell the older one. Those are the 4 I recommend. If your English is really bad, or number 2, are you listening? I'm being very precise. Or if you just want to read the Bible, meaning you want to sit down one night and do something you've never done in your lifetime, read the book of Genesis. Did you hear what I just said? Get yourself a New International or the New Living Translation. They're great for just reading. No, they're not always real accurate, and they're highly interpretive. But if you're just going to read a big book, they're kind of nice. It's very hard, by the way. I would say in this room, very few people could sit down and read 50 chapters of Genesis in one setting in the King James. It's hard. So, got it? Those are the 4. Those 2 are okay for general purposes. There might be another translation or 2 that's okay. I honestly, after a point, it's like, how many do we need? Okay, I think these 4 are enough. Questions on that? Now, are you going to find differences? The answer is absolutely yes. Sir? Yes. I'm going to try. Because after I found out about your beliefs, go ahead. It has major problems. Yes, it does. Yeah, I don't even know if you can still get the 84. Does anybody know what we're talking about? The NIV went gender neutral in 2000, what was it? So it has problems. Now, by the way, Pastor Warren can actually talk about this intelligently, but here's the problem. Most of us don't think about these things. So just take my recommendations. That's good enough. It'll be healthy. You're absolutely correct. I'm not sure about the New Living Translation. I'm not sure where it's at on this. By the way, they went gender neutral on purpose. It was a very intentional thing. All right. Saved or being saved? Let's look at number four, would you please? We're going to try to finish four and five and then summarize everything. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible, and this is the fourth concept, everybody look up here. When you're using the New American Standard, ESV, as opposed to these two go together, these two, there are text differences, textual differences. This uses what's called, or what can be called, majority text. This uses a critical text. Pastor Warren has opinions about that. Pastor Warren could spend 2 or 3 months talking about that. You're not, listen, I love you, you're not capable of interacting with that. All you need to know as a Christian, there's textual basic differences. Now, what are the differences? There'll be a word here or there that's not in this text that's in this one. There'll be 2 or 3 passages. By the way, if you've done any reading, you already know what they are. The end of Mark 16. John chapter 8, that part about the woman taken in adultery, I believe it's part of the text, but it has scared Christians forever because the early church didn't think Jesus condemned that woman enough. And it was sliced and pasted in many different places. Weirdly, it's always in the Bible, but not always there. Sometimes they put it at the end of John. Sometimes they put it in Luke. It scared people, that woman taken in adultery. There'll be a handful of verses here, there, and yon that aren't there, okay? So sometimes there's a text, when you run into a problem, especially like that, it'll usually say it, that manuscripts don't have this. So, by the way, you say, what's the right one, what's the wrong one? On the whole, I tend to go with this. But I'll be honest with you, good men don't. So, am I going to fight about this? Well, I'm going to read what I have in your notes. Obviously, many differences are found here. However, as it has been said, what does I say here, folks? Many times, there are no substantial differences or substantial changes from text to sex. I don't even know if I need to say this next line in this church. Anything that God wants to communicate is never communicated in one isolated text. I want someone to tell me how they know that from the direct teaching of the Bible. That's a good example. It's actually more, but yeah, the two different repeating, yep. How about this one? It is the most repeated concept in the Bible. 2 or 3 witnesses. Over and over and over. It's found in Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's found in Matthew. It's found in John. It's found in Corinthians. It's found in 1 Timothy. It's found every place. Because if God wants to communicate something, look at me. So if it's not found in your precious ESV and you're thinking, this must be heresy, nothing God communicates to you is going to be located in one text of that value. It's going to be found in other places. So people say, well, this isn't in the Bible, so this is not the Bible. No, it's not in that verse, maybe. But there's no conspiracy. It'll be found other places if it's true. Let me ask you, you reckon justification by faith is found in one verse? It just doesn't work that way, folks. God communicates in a way where we can learn it. There is nothing in the middle of Ezekiel in one line that God's going to say, gotcha! Come on, that's not the way God communicates. Next in your verse, in your notes, next page. This is for your benefit. I know you read Greek well. The King James, or majority text, says this, and I'm going to read the King James, and then we'll look at the Greek. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, which is the dative, plural, masculine, noun, tois, day, that's the word but, postpositive. I know you know what that stuff is. Two, but, and then the question is, what's that next phrase mean? All right, look at the ESV, or the New American Standard. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. See, that's nice. It also says, and that's exactly correct, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. But I think you will recognize that they are identical in Greek. Got that? So one thing you know, when you come to the 1 Corinthians 1:18 passage, this is not a textual problem. Got it? Now, what we're going to do very quickly is I'm going to give you two places that in new versions you're going to run into differences. Got it? I'm going to do it quickly. If you don't catch on, that should be okay. In your notes. Revelation 1 verse 5, you're going to see a big difference. Let's see here. Jordan, you have a New American Standard, is that correct? Revelation 1 5 for us, please. The King James Version says this, and I will ask all of you to listen. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. And the King James says, washed us. Are you listening? Lusanti. Lusanti hemas. Lusanti hemas. Got it? Lusanti hemas. The ESV says, and from Jesus Christ and faithful witness, firstborn of the dead and ruler of the kings on earth, to him who loved us and... What's it say in English? Oh, there's a conspiracy. Are you all listening? Yes or no? Are you sure? How do you pronounce these words? I didn't say what they mean. How do you pronounce these words? If I can write the other one. How do you pronounce the words? So if you're listening, and far as that goes, if you're writing, these two here are quite easy to get confused, are they not? Now we know the difference, as you ask us, but when you're just zooming through it, sometimes I'll look back and think, why did I leave that? I put this here for this. Okay, so let's read in Greek what the Greek phrase, and freed us. Are you ready? Lusanti, hemas. Yes, because you'll notice the spelling here. If you don't read Greek, which I'm assuming you don't, the problem is this and this, which is like OU, guess how they're pronounced? Yeah. It's a conspiracy of the devil. Oh, get a life. Go ahead and tell me what the I'm sure the New American Standard says freed. Freed us, released us, same thing. So you say, which is it? Let me ask you a question. When you got saved, did he wash you from your sins? Yeah. Did he loose you or free you from your sins? Yeah. Oh, there's a conspiracy here someplace. Frankly, folks, it's a real hard one to figure out, but it all boils down to two, two, and two. That's it. John chapter 14. And John chapter 14 is much more difficult. I want you to turn there too, young lady. John chapter 14 is much more difficult. There is a weird phenomenon in Greek language. It's not hard to figure out. Normally, it's easy to figure out. Pistou. I got to write the rest of the word here. So let's read it in the King James. Let not your heart be troubled. Now remember, I already asked you if you know English. So Sarah Ann, you're next. Ye believe in God. That believe in that phrase in the King James is indicative or imperative. Is it a statement of fact or is it a command? It's a statement of fact. Got it. The next word for believe, and I'm assuming all of you are great Greek scholars, you can read both words and realize, uh-oh, pistuete and pistuete is the same in Greek. Yes or no? The next word for believe, is it an indicative or an imperative? Is it a command or is it statement of fact? Thank you, Sarah Ann. Which one is it in Greek? Well, it just happens to be in present tense. By the way, this is the reason I don't teach this. Unless you know Greek, you're just talking in the... I hear people and I'm like, the pastor doesn't know what he's talking about, teaching people that don't know what they're talking about, walking away thinking they're geniuses. Friend, I spent years of my life trying to learn this language. In present tense of some verbs, the imperative and the indicative, which means a command or a statement of fact, they're spelled the same. So you have to make a choice. And actually, in this text, we could, are you listening? Take a breath. We could have two indicatives. One indicative, one imperative. One imperative, one indicative, or two imperatives. Well, of course. By the way, but even from the text. So in reality, well, let's see what the ESV says. I think the ESV probably, yeah, this is probably what most normal modern translations say. Let not your heart be troubled. Sarah Ann, I'm coming back to you. Believe in God. Is that indicative, statement of fact, or imperative of command? In the ESV. It's an imperative. Yes. And what's the second one? Believe also in me. It's an imperative. You say, which one's right? Does it make a big difference? I don't know. So when you read this the next time, realize this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? I could say it this way. You also believe in me. Or I could say, believe in God. Believe also in me. Or I could say, you believe in God. Believe also in me. All three of them are exactly the same in grammar. Is it going to change your whole theology of the Bible? Now, folks, you don't have to like to hear that. That's just called Greek 101. Which one is correct? Get a good commentary, and guess what they do? They'll spend three pages debating which one's correct. What do you have here? Two commands?
Yeah, two commands. So do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You're going to have a note that says, or do you believe in God? So it kind of includes both.
Yes, because... Now, everyone look at me. Do you understand? No conspiracy. Yes or no? No conspiracy. The moment you... King James people, first of all, most of them are highly uneducated. But have you ever noticed there is the weirdest combination? He hears it all the time. There's a weird combination between ignorance and arrogance. The most arrogant people I ever meet are the most ignorant. And ignorance tends to flow to air. I don't know why. When I get in a conversation of ignorant people, there's yelling, screaming, name-calling. You talk to intelligent people, you get none of that. So the louder it is and the more conspiracies there are, you know one thing. You better be running for the hills. Unless you're going to join his group, the Holy Ghost group. And you know, and nine is the number. Did you know? Nine is the number of God. You do not. You do not. You do not. Because let's be honest about this, friend. You have to understand, most of them are not educated, almost without exception. And by the way, if they are educated, then you have to ask another question. There's something real evil about you because you're a liar. I was in the Philippines a couple years ago and got in trouble because they asked me about this question. I went through a whole bunch of stuff that I'm not going to teach here because it would bore you to tears. And the main thing I taught was, I said, I'm sorry, you do not hold in your hands a 1611. And I proved that to them. You have a 1769. If you want to see a 1611, there's actually one you can get online, and you can actually page it. Well, the one I have, it's hard to read because of the spelling differences and the marginal notes. They have Greek in the margins. But what I did was I told the pastors, and by the way, if I ever see a couple of those utak ipis over there, you don't know what that means. Louis likes it, though. Louis likes it. I challenged them. I said, if you ever go back to your church, because they have on the side of their buses 1611. They didn't know. They heard this from some dumb white guy that didn't know either. I said, this makes you a liar. See, now there's a moral part of this. Now you're lying. Because you don't got the 1611. You got the 1769. There's been like 100,000 changes. They've changed the spelling of almost every word. 1611 is hard to read. Very hard, because the spelling's different. But again, folks, look at me. I want to be honest. I love the King James Bible. Younger people, probably not going to love it like I do. Sir Walter, you're not joining him, are you? You're not joining this guy. Yes. Yeah, it's really hard to read all that stuff, though. I've actually heard people reply, and they say, well, but the Holy Ghost just inspired them more than what they understood, and you're just like, oh. Now, let me go back to you, if I might, and I'm going to try to finish this up. Folks, I know some of this gets a little distracting and intellectually pursuing nothing. If you are around a person that's not well-educated and, frankly, not very smart, if you're a good Christian, which I don't know that you are, but you at least aspire to be, you want to be gentle with these people because you understand they're very fragile. What appears to be very strong is very fragile. And that's what happened to the stuff Fundy's like. This was a guy that realized the trick was up. This is a bunch of fools. But he was fragile. He thought he came from a strong place, and he ended up no place. So I don't really, it's hard to talk to these people. Very difficult. You can give them the preface to the 1611, but are they going to read it? And frankly, that preface, the first half of it's very hard to read. It's very dense. I actually just read it again. I read it about 5 times again. I thought about teaching it, but I don't think so. I think it's a place where, folks, this is who I am, and this is who we are. We're going to use the King James here, but we're going to have other people use other things. And that's just the way it is. Let's go to the last point. This is, by the way, this question is not my question. It's the translation solution. If I can write. I'm going to tell you who asked this. My good friend, and he's much braver than me, Dr. Moritz. There is a little redneck school in Texas that's starting online, and they had a class on the King James Bible and how all other versions are of the devil, and this verse came up. So this is a Dr. Moritz question. Mr. Randall, are you ready for this question? Read the text, please, everybody. This comes down to the heart of the matter. This is exactly Dr. Moritz's question, and they were doing the online back and forth. Got it? So he said, well, how would you translate a present, passive, participle, dative, plural, masculine? You know, we're having a discussion about are you saved or being saved, and we're not discussing the language of the text that Paul wrote in that's inspired. We're discussing opinions. So he just said, how would you translate this? And of course, actually, he should have said articular. I know you know what that means. Then you have present. Anybody know what a present in Greek means? The only thing it cannot mean is a point in time. It generally means some kind of ongoing activity. And the next concept is passive. Is that correct? By the way, folks, how do you know this is passive? Look at me. You spend years memorizing paradigms and how Greek works, and it fills your brain till it's squirting out your ears. You know this is a passive by looking at it. It is, after a while, it's like you talk to people and they don't even know the alphabet. So when you have a passive, What's passive mean? Something is, what'd you say? Yeah, something is being done. So you have some kind of ongoing activity and something is, you're not doing the action. Something else is doing the action. By the way, let me ask you a hard question. Do you save yourself?
No.
Who saves you? Thank you. Because of his son. So when you read this, let me tell you how it's translated. Are you all ready? Take a breath. If you're going to read this in the Bible, I'll tell you how you should translate it. To those, look here, who are being saved. The King James is wrong. Yes, and I noticed Walter's getting his coat. You have to translate it as ongoing activity, and passive means passive, something God does to you. Now, let's go back to everything we've said. Let's go back to the very beginning. Drop the conspiracies. By the way, if I was going to deal with these people, what I would probably deal with is some of this, but I don't know your sister. But I can guarantee you that young lady, Holly, that church is filled with conspiracies. There's conspiracies about everything. I don't know how to help people like that because there's something about reality they're missing. Maybe medication, I don't know. Truthfully, about the only thing that they have to get out of that, but it's hard. Drop the conspiracies. By the way, drop conspiracies. I don't care who's teaching them. And I've seen creationists have conspiracies of the variety that just aren't true. I've seen a lot of King James only people, and it just goes on and on. It just, you're sitting there like, why are you saying these things? Folks, I'm used to real intellectual discourse where people are giving reasons and ideas, and it's back and forth. It's not, well, if you don't believe this, you're part of the Illuminati. Greek is Greek, folks. Okay? Secondly, we talked about the logic of the matter. The very question itself, are you saved or being saved, is a dumb question. Remember? Because there might be more than two options. And number three, we are now going to go over all of number three in the next 10 minutes and finish this up. Everybody at number three? The theological solution. So I ask in your notes, a bigger, more significant solution is theological. Does Scripture present salvation in more than one tense? And what is the answer to that question? What's the answer to that question? So let's just pretend. Everybody look at me. Let's just pretend you're a simple King James guy. By the way, folks, I'm not denigrating the King James. I love the King James. I have a disadvantage on you, and it's a disadvantage. I remember when a professor said that the problem with Greek is it causes more problems in your brain. I can point out places in the King James where it's just wrong, and I don't even know why it's wrong in a couple of them. The Easter problem in Acts chapter 12, verse 4 is real easy. I know why that is wrong. Because King James said any language related to the Church of England, bishop, deacon, Easter, don't touch. Anything in the bishop's Bible, which is the one that it was supposed to copy, this is in that stuff we're talking about, don't touch the church language. I know there's one in Hebrews where it mistranslates elpidos, translates it faith. It's the only time in the Bible I think somebody messed up in writing, not in translating, but copying. John chapter 8, there's two different passages. One time Jesus says you're going to die in your sin, singular, and the next time in Greek it's sins, plural, and the King James translates them the same. I don't know why those are like that. There are some of them. I'm just talking off the top of my head. But this question is a dumb question. Because let's just pretend Chris here loves the King James and he doesn't understand all this, so he's sticking with the King James. Okay, fine. But there's no heresy being taught. Why? Because in the Bible talks about past, present, and future. And the Bible, if you don't have these in your notes, please put them in there, talks about in some places we're saved, in other places we're being saved. And in other places we shall be saved in one fashion or another. So Chris, I'm saying this to you, but not to you. I'm saying it to everybody. So Chris here loves the King James. So do I. It's the only thing I've ever memorized, read, pretty much. So you're reading the King James, and you know you don't want to deal with an ESV. Fine, I don't have a problem with that. But you don't have to look at people that use the ESV or the New American Standard and say, oh, these people, they're of the devil, they're fooled by the Antichrist. Because the Bible pretty clearly teaches that, yeah, we're saved. Other places we're being saved. Some places we shall be saved. We talked about this too. The next one deals with the penalty of sin. Yes? That's what happens. The moment you get saved, that's all that happens. Hopefully, the moment you get saved, God begins to deal with this power of sin, and one day the very presence of sin. Isn't that kind of helpful, folks? So this question, Chris, even if you don't understand Greek, which you don't, so you're going to have to trust somebody. And you say, well, I'm trusting the King James. Fine. But you're not going to go down chasing rabbits because you realize, is it teaching heresy to say we are being saved? Well, the answer is no. There's a sense you got saved. There's a sense you're being saved. There's a sense you shall be saved. You were cleared from the penalty of sin. Hopefully, when you get saved, God starts working on the power of controlling sin and one day hit the very presence. Other language. You know this language. Justification. Then we come to the doctrine, not the word, sanctification. And then, of course, glorification. So we know this just from the Bible. We've also talked now about text, that's point number 4, and we've talked about translation. But I'm going to say this, a person that has an argument with you about translation rarely reads the languages. Or they're lying. And that's the hard one. Brother, you're talking about your sister. She's an uneducated person. When you run into a person that's gone to seminary, like Shelton Smith of the Sword of the Lord, this borders on being a liar. Because he had an education at Tennessee Temple. I think he got an MDiv by real guys that read the languages. So when he comes out, this hyper King James stuff, that kind of makes you a liar. Because he probably doesn't read Greek anymore, but he would know enough if you gave him a present passive participle to know something in there, it's being ongoing. Let's look at some verses together, could we, in here? And we'll finish up this little lecture. And right after church, we're starting a new church. Walter is going to be the treasurer. He's taking collections. So, all right, in your notes. Let's start, if you could, with Acts 16. Let's just start there. This, of course, is the Philippian jailer. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He, of course, is asking the question, how do I get saved? I mean, that's just, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Well, it certainly deals with this. Obviously, it's given you confidence that in the future you'll be saved, but it's primarily this. Let's look at the next text. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, what's this? One word, shall be saved. So this passage says we shall be saved. That doesn't mean we're not saved now. It's just talking about when you get saved, God does all of these, and he promises the whole package. God doesn't promise I'm going to save you, but you might not be saved from wrath in the future. He promises the whole package, which is kind of nice. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 3:15 talks about he himself shall be saved. That's future. 1 Timothy 2:15, which is an exceptionally difficult verse, probably talks about in the whole women normally part of their Part of this, the middle, is being a mother, having children, being faithful to that calling. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That there is not talking about getting saved. It's probably talking about the middle and probably talking about being saved from self-destruction. Let's see here. 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me, but it's just the word sozo in future tense, and will save me unto his heavenly kingdom. Beautiful. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. By the way, John has two verses in the King James that he likes. Superfluity of naughtiness and certain baser fellows of the looter, what is it? Baser fellows of the something. Looter sort. John quotes those to me regularly to make fun of the King James. But anyhow, let's read on. He says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, he's talking to believers. So he's certainly not talking about your initial salvation. This is an unbelievably powerful. I actually remember the first time I read this one, Romans 13. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What's that talking about? Future. Yeah. Yes, if you don't have some kind of an idea, that theologically the Bible can talk about all three concepts. So let's just finish here and we're done. When you read this foolishness on the internet and anybody brings any conspiracies in your direction, what do? Run. Or if you prefer, B.R. Lakin had the greatest quote. Some of you don't know who he is. He died a long time ago. He was an old man. B.R. Lakin said, somebody asked me, did I leave the Southern Baptists? And don't you get mad. This was in the liberal days before the takeover in the 80s and 90s. He said, no. He's an old man. He was born in the 1800s. He says, no, I just mounted my horse, tipped my hat, and slowly rode away. And I'm going to tell you what. When you deal with fools, now, if you're in your family, I have some in my family that are, they know all about the King James, but they don't know how to work. They know all about the King James, but they'd rather play video games. So can you trust the Bible? Yeah. Is it going to be 100% accurate? Folks, if you read the original King James, and next week if I can remember it, I might try to, if Christy's going to be here for sure, or the following week, we'll bring down here and I'll show you that website and you can look at an exact 1611 and you can flip page to page and you know what you'll find? Are you listening? In the margin, sometimes they weren't sure what the word should be. You say, why? Because sometimes, pistuete, believe or believe? Or both? Or does it make a difference? Sometimes it's lusanti and lusanti. Father, thank you for this day. Bless our time together, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen.